So this past week, I was off at a conference for pastors in our synod that falls under the heading of continuing education for me. We were talking about Luther's legacy in a changing North American context, which feels like it's something that we can never quite keep up with because change is happening around us so fast and so frequently. And so it always feels like a gift to be able to take a few days away and spend some time to think and learn. Before I went, I was talking with some of you about the phenomenon known as continuing education or ongoing training that jobs or different kinds of certification require in order to stay up for effectiveness. Pharmacists, I learned, for example, need continuing education because new medicines are constantly developed, and if you don't learn what those medicines are, then you can't effectively dispense them and answer questions about them. While we were driving to the conference I was at, I was riding with one of my friends who's both a pastor and a volunteer firefighter in our township, and he was telling me about how on a regular basis, the guys at the fire hall get together to assess the ways that they have fought fires, with the, you know, processing past incidents so that they can learn for the future. And any of you who are CPR certified, and I know we have in process the possibility of having a CPR class here at First English, you'll know that you need to be recertified every so often because, thanks be to God, none of us use our CPR skills so often that we can do chest compressions on a dying person without thinking about it. It occurred to me, thinking about all these things, that Christian discipleship, knowing and following Jesus, staying connected to God, which is something all of us are called to, whatever our day-to-day occupation, this, following Jesus, also requires constant continuing education and training. Our lessons for today, however, do not imagine that training as a burden, as hours that must be checked off. Rather, our psalm and our second lesson present to us teaching as a gift. Oh, how I love your teaching, we said a few minutes ago with Psalm 119. All day long, it is in my mind. And in our second lesson, St. Paul tells both Timothy and us, as for you, continue in what you have learned. Do continuing education. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. St. Paul says, get out the books. Visit and revisit the stories. Pray through the commandments. Hear the parables of Jesus over and over again so that you remember to pray always and not to lose heart. The word disciple, which is used in the Bible for those who follow Jesus, literally means learner, and it is a lifelong thing. In a few minutes, Brianna's parents and godparents are bringing her for baptism, and they will promise that they will help her learn the Christian faith, placing in her hands the Holy Scriptures and teaching her the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. The grace of God that is given in baptism is full and complete. By it, we are made part of the body of Christ. We are offered the gift of salvation. But the day-to-day living out of the baptized life is not like riding a bicycle, in which you just have the God thing figured out and you can continue on your way once you've got that learning taken care of. Rather, our baptism is just the beginning. The beginning of our learning, of our constant need for God. In baptism, you see, God makes us his own. We are united to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're made part of the community of faith with life at the heart of its mission. And we are given a purpose to love our neighbors in Jesus' name and to seek justice and peace. And in baptism, God gives us reason to live in hope. Hope even in the face of political turmoil. Hope despite climate crises or energy crises or wars or hurricanes or illness or injury. In baptism, God gives us grace. And with grace, the reason never, ever to lose heart, whether the time or the circumstance is favorable or unfavorable. But we rise out of the baptismal water into a world that does not know about this hope, which is why the continued education is so important. Voices surround us in our daily life that do not speak to us of hope. And because we remain sinners in this life, we will always be tempted to give those voices more credibility than they deserve. We need constant formation. And the temptation is that the voices that are not God's will shape us. Our thoughts, our perceptions, our attitudes, and our choices are shaped by what we take in and what we listen to, by what we read and how we spend our time. If, for example, we spend an hour a week with God, but 10 hours a week with CNN or Fox News, then we are giving the news media 10 times the access to our minds and our hearts that we're giving to God. And since bad news is what sells in our sinful world, we are thus giving bad news 10 more times the access to our minds and our hearts than the good news of a God who creates and restores the world. If along with those 10 hours we take in lots of commercials that tell us that we need to buy more or have more, then we are taking in messages that we are not by ourselves, created by God, but need somehow something to fix us. If we read more of Facebook than the good book, then the latest social media controversy is going to feel more real than the story of a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to end the reign of sin and death. You may know the old proverb that you are what you eat. Spiritually, we are what we read or see or hear. In prayer, in the scriptures, in conversation with other faithful people, in worship, through these things, Christ meets our need and fills us with the word that reminds us of who we are. Child of God, marked with the cross, sealed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might. This is the continuing education that matters. Now, I know the Bible is hard, and sometimes it's hard to pick it up and open it because it's filled with forbidding names like Melchizedek or Methuselah. But the learning that 2 Timothy is commending to us is not about knowledge or facts or pronunciation. It's about Jesus Christ, who comes to us as through means in stories that we can learn and hear and study and teach. I was serious when I was talking at the children's sermon about, if you don't have a Bible, talk to me and I will get you one. And if you have one but you're a little nervous to open it, talk to me and I'll talk you through it. We can work through it. And if you don't like to read, there are recordings and audio versions and even movies of Bible books. Someday, God promises, there will be a time when we will not need to learn anymore, when we won't need to teach, when we won't need to study. Our first lesson puts that promise to us. The law of God, the very words of God, will be written on our hearts and we'll know God from within, and our need for ongoing education and formation will cease. But we're not there yet. So until that day, take your continuing education hours. They are a gift so that you can remember who you truly are and who your God really is. Amen.